Title: Managing Large Break Collections Without Chaos Intermediate. All right, let's clean up the break hoarding situation. If you've been making drum and bass for a while, you already know how this goes. You download a pack, you rip a classic, you bounce something from an old project, and suddenly your breaks folder becomes a cursed maze of files called things like Amen 174 Final 2.wav. And the real cost isn't disk space. It's momentum. You sit down to write a roller, and 45 minutes later you're still previewing breaks and second-guessing everything. So in this lesson we're building a system. Not a perfect system. Not a nerdy tag every file for 3 days system. A practical, repeatable workflow in Ableton Live that lets you store, tag, preview, warp, slice, and audition breaks fast, in context, without chaos. And the key mindset shift is this. We're separating collector brain from producer brain. Collector brain can keep everything. Producer brain needs a small set of options that are instantly usable at 174. Lesson goal. By the end, you'll have a folder pipeline on disk, Ableton browser tags that work like a DJ crate, correct warp habits for DNB and jungle, and a dedicated break audition setup that makes choosing breaks feel easy. You'll also know how to slice breaks into playable kits, so your library becomes instruments, not just audio files. Now, step 0, decide your truth. One library, one method. Pick one primary location for your break library and commit. If your breaks are spread across random drives and old desktops, you'll always feel disorganized because you are. So choose one top-level folder, something like DNB sample library, then inside that, breaks. Your future self will thank you for this, because it means Ableton's browser can point to one place and you're not playing detective every session. Step 1. Build a folder system that matches how you actually write DNB. Here's the structure. Keep it simple but meaningful. First folder, 00 inbox raw. This is where everything new goes. New downloads, sample packs, random rips, anything you haven't judged yet. Second, 01 curated, only breaks you'd actually use. This is where you want to spend your time browsing. Third, 02 warped ready. This is the big one. These are breaks that are warped clean, trimmed, consolidated, and ready to drop into a project at DNB tempo. Fourth, 03 sliced kits. This is where your drum racks, simpler presets, and .add racks live. Playable stuff. Then 99 archive. This is your I don't want to delete it, but I also don't want to see it while I'm trying to make music folder. Now a coach note here. Treat ready as a format, not just a folder. Anything inside 02 warped ready should behave the same way. For example, you decide, it's always two bars, it starts exactly on the downbeat, warped correctly, consolidated, no long tail hanging over, and it's roughly gain staged so it's not slamming your channel. When every file behaves the same, browsing becomes instant. You're not rewarping and retrimming every time you want to test a groove. You just grab and go. Step 2, naming convention. Because search is your superpower. You don't need to rename everything you've ever downloaded. That's a trap. Start with your top 100 breaks, the ones you actually reach for, and build from there. A practical naming format is source, feel, BPM, description, maybe key if it matters, and a version number. So you might have something like Amen Raw 174 Open Hats V1, or Think Rolling 172 Ghost Snare V2, or Funky Drummer Halftime 87 Heavy Room V1. And here are DNB tags worth using, because they're functional. For feel, rolling, steppy, jungle, two-step, half-time. For texture, crisp, dusty, noisy, roomy. For content, open hats, tight snare, ghosts, ride heavy. Why this matters, once your names are structured, Ableton's search basically becomes a database. You can literally type Amen 174 rolling or Think Dusty 172 or Jungle Ride Heavy and you'll pull up what you want without scrolling. That's the whole game. Stop scrolling, start searching. Step 3. Make Ableton's browser work like a break DJ crate. Go into Live's browser, find places, and add your breaks folder. So now it's always there, one click away. Then use collections. Collections are the colored tags in Ableton. And they're insanely useful for breaks because they let you create cross categories without making a million folders. Create a personal scheme. For example, one color is your go-to rollers, another is jungle or amen focused, another is heavy industrial, another is layer material like hats and tops, and another is experimental weird swing. And here's a workflow rule that keeps you decisive. If a break isn't tagged within 30 seconds of hearing it, it's probably not a keeper. You can always archive it, but your curated world should be opinionated. Also, you can create micro-categories inside collections without new folders. Things like Snare Forward, Hat Swing, Clean Modern, Crunchy Old, works at 170 to 176, needs massaging. That way the disk structure stays simple, but your filtering power is huge. Step 4. Work defaults for DDNB. This matters more than people think. Dragging breaks in with bad warp assumptions is a huge source of chaos. It's not just timing. It affects how slicing feels, how your groove sits, and whether you trust what you're hearing. For full breaks, start with warp mode set to beats. In beats mode, preserve transients. Then keep the envelope low, around 0 to 20% to start, so the break stays punchy. Complex Pro can sometimes help if the break is roomy or tonal, but it can smear drums, so treat it like a special case, not a default. Here's the practical workflow. Drag the break into an audio track. In clip view, turn warp on. Set the correct SIG BPM if it's wrong. Then do the most important thing. Make sure 1.1.1 is aligned to the downbeat. If your 1.1.1 is wrong, everything downstream is wrong. Your loop will feel off, your slices will feel weird, and you'll waste time trying to fix something that's basically just misalignment. Once it's aligned, set your loop braces to exactly 1 or 2 bars. For classic breaks, 2 bars is super common and usually the sweet spot. Then consolidate, seed MD or Control J. That creates a clean new sample file. And then you move that consolidated file into 02 warped ready. Now you have a break you can use instantly at 174, which is the whole point. Quick coach note about drift. If you've got breaks with human timing that drift a little, don't go warp marker crazy. Place warp markers strategically at major anchors like bar starts and snare hits. Overwarping kills pocket. Your goal is stable enough to loop, not perfectly gridded like a robot. Step 5. Build a break audition track, your anti-chaos weapon. In every DNB set, create a dedicated track called Break Audition. This track exists purely so you can drop breaks in and hear them through a consistent DNB lens against your bass line and your main drums. Here's a solid stock device chain. First, EQ8, high pass around 25 to 35 HC to clean rumble. Often I'll dip a bit around 250 to 400 if it's boxy. And if it's dull, a small high shelf, like plus 1 or 2 dB at 8 to 12K. Then drum bus, drive around 5 to 15% depending on taste. Crunch 0 to 20, boom usually off, because in DNB your sub should own the low end and boom can get in the way fast. Then saturator, soft clip on, drive 1 to 4 dB. You're not trying to destroy it, you're trying to make it sit forward. Then utility at the end. And this is critical. Gain match while browsing. Loud always sounds better. Your brain is extremely easy to trick. So use utility to get roughly the same level as you swap breaks. So you're judging character, not loudness. If you want to level up, map utilities gain to a macro on a rack so you can quickly match peaks. The goal is same loudness, different vibe. Optional extra. Gate. Gates can tighten old noisy breaks if you set them right. Fast attack, short release, and if you use the gate sidechain filter to focus on mids and highs, it can clamp down on hissy tails without killing your transients. Step 6. Slice breaks instantly with simpler slice mode. This is where jungle and DDNB editing becomes fun, because now the break becomes a playable instrument. Take your warped, consolidated break, ideally 2 bars. Right-click it and choose slice to new MIDI track. In the slicing dialog, choose the built-in slicing preset and slice by transient. That usually gives you the most musical result. Ableton will create a drum rack filled with simplers, each holding a slice. Now don't skip the tidying, because this is what turns chopped loop into usable kit. First, normalize pad loudness by ear. Some ghost notes will be too quiet, some hits will be too loud. Go pad by pad and adjust simpler gain so the kit plays evenly. Second, shorten tails on hat or noise slices. In simpler's amp envelope, reduce release so fast patterns don't blur into mush. Third, for weight, try pitching a few non-kick slices down 1 to 3 semitones, especially snares and room hits. Save that as a variation, not as a replacement, so you can choose different flavors later. Then save the drum rack properly. Name it something like Amen Rolling 174 Sliced, and store it in 03 sliced kits. Also consider using Add to Library for your best racks, and tag them in collections, so they show up instantly in your user library. Your future self should not have to remember which project you made it in. Step 7. Swap friendly layering. Separate tops and core. This is a huge workflow win for modern DNB. Instead of relying on one break to do everything, split it into two jobs. Create a core break track for body and snare character. Create a TOP break track for hats, air, and sizzle. The quick way is to duplicate your break track. On top break, EQ high pass around 200 to 400 HC so it's mostly hats and texture. On core break, you can optionally low pass around 8 to 12k if the tops are harsh, or leave it full range if you like grit. Now you can do arrangement moves that feel like you're evolving the drums without rewriting them. For example, verses, core only for a cleaner groove, drops, at the top layer for energy. Every 8 or 16 bars, swap the top break for variation while the core stays consistent. That's how you get movement without losing identity. If the layers feel like they're in different spaces, here's a trick. Put a tiny room reverb on a return, short decay, very low mix, then send both core and top slightly into it. You're not trying to hear reverb, you're trying to create shared ambience so they sound like one drummer. Step 8. Optional, but powerful. Build a break browser rack inside the set. This is for when you want auditioning to feel like selecting presets. You can build a rack where you drop a break into simpler. Then you've got macros like top cut, body cut, punch, clip, maybe a tiny room amount, maybe gate tightness. Now you're not rebuilding chains. You're turning one knob to hear what if this break was tighter, brighter, crunchier. And if you want a fast decision-making tool, set up two return tracks for slash B testing. Return A is light glue, blue compressor plus subtle saturation. Return B is aggro, hard clip style saturation, heavier drive, maybe extra EQ. When previewing, send the break to a then B. If it only sounds good when smashed, that's a clue. It might be better as layer material, not the core groove you build the drop around. Common mistakes to avoid. Quick and direct. 1. Keeping everything just in case. Curated should be opinionated. Archive the rest. 2. Not gain matching when browsing. Loud breaks win, even if they're worse. 3. Warping without checking 1.1.1. One wrong downbeat and nothing will feel right. 4. Overslicing microtransients. If transient slicing creates too many tiny slices, you lose groove. Sometimes slicing by eighth notes or sixteenths is cleaner. 5. No separation between raw and ready. Raw is storage. This audio version is shortened for playback.